He really does love you. He really does. Those of you here in the building and about in the radio arts, internet audience, he loves you so much he gave his son to die for you. And I thank the Lord for that. Turn your Bible, please, if you will, this morning to Pastor Scripture. I hope you'll come on Wednesday night. We're going through the book of Acts on Wednesday night. And to pick up kind of where I left off there, I'm not going to finish that message. I kind of finished it up on Wednesday night, but we'll start back in the book of Acts on this coming Wednesday night. But if you remember, I read to you a passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 4. So I want to remind you of a little something right there. And then we'll go on. I want to ask you to be praying as you come to this book of Acts and ask God to speak to hearts. This passage of Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been preached by the disciples. And God has kept his word. He sent the power of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They preached, and 3,000 got saved. And in chapter number 3, they healed the blind man. And then, boy, business picks up. No sooner than they begin to serve God than the devil gets mad. How many know that when God's a blessing, the devil's always mad? I want to remind you, he's always mad. But here in this passage of Scripture, this is not my text. I'm just looking here at something to remind you of something. Notice what it says in verse number 13 of Acts chapter 4. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, having that in mind, turn over to the book of 2 Timothy. This is a passage that I used in closing the other night in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Remember, the disciples filled with the Holy Spirit of God and all the things around them. But what people noticed was this: they'd been with Jesus. They'd been with the Lord. Now, what makes the difference in my life, in your life, is the time we spend with Jesus. You have to work. You have to do those things. But you've got to be conscious of his abiding presence. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And it has to be a continual dialogue. The Bible said you pray without ceasing. You keep close to him and be close to him. Notice in this 2 Timothy, and I, as we were sharing this last Wednesday night, look in chapter 4 and verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and dead at his appearing and kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. I'm not through reading, I'm going to read more, but I want to call your attention in verse 5. But watch thou in all things. What's that mean? To watch. Does it mean to be observant, note everything going on around you and everything? It has to do with this idea of you being conscious of your own state. It's not talking about things going on around you. You have to be careful where you are. The Bible talks about if you're not careful, that you'll faint and you'll fall. I'll read you something like that. You've got to be conscious of where you are. The world is in a turmoil, and the world is in trouble. Wicked men will wax worse and worse, the Bible said. In the last days, the love of many will wax cold because of iniquity. Many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. He's telling young Timothy, Timothy, you need to take careful stock all the time of where you are. Now, in what relationship? Paul's life and his testimony would tell us this. It is a relationship, your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have time to pray, you're too busy. If you don't have time to get off somewhere and get along with God, you're too busy. You've got to watch. You've got to be careful of that. And then he goes on, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Verse 6, for I am now ready to be off, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come unto me shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. Now, we read that, and we throw everything on Demas. He's left Paul because he loved this present world. Well, previous to that, John Mark had left another occasion. Those who've been with us tonight, we saw that. But notice this little further statement here. It says that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed to Thessalonica. Crescent to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. And here are two other guys besides Demas who have left him. And it leads him to this statement, verse 11, only Luke is with me. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable in the ministry. Now, here is Paul who is challenging Timothy, be faithful. I'll just tell you why. He said, because this time's coming, they're not going to endure sound doctrine. Time's coming when they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And because of their own lust, the Bible says. It's a lustful age you're living in. It is a lustful time you're living in. And lust has to do with this. Inside of every human being, you have what's called an old man. Now, if you women are there, you can call it an old woman, but it's still an old man. Every person has an old nature. And it is a lustful nature. In the very beginning, when God made Adam and Eve, fashioned them, put them in a garden, perfect environment, perfect creation of God, he said, you can take all these fruit except for that one in the midst of the garden. You'll not take of that. And she was drawn to that. Satan tempted her. And how did he do that? He drew her. The Bible talks about those who sin, they're drawn out after their own lust. It's in every one of you. It's in me. It's in every person in this world. There is living inside of you a wicked old man. Now, we've been saved by the grace of God, but Paul had sense enough to know this. When I do good, evil is present with me. He said, the good I want to do, I don't do, and the bad I don't want to do, that I often do. And Paul had to learn how to combat that. It's in every one of us. It's every one of us. We still have two natures in us. We've got a nature that's divine, born again by the grace of God. We love the Lord. And we've got a nature in us that craves the things of the world. And it's driven by lust, whether it's lust, pride of the eye, pride of life, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh. It's all driven by that. It may raise its head in regard to pride. It may raise its head in regard to money or station in life or education or physical or all types of lustful things. It's in every one of us. And we have to be careful. But Paul said this. He said, there's some who have yielded to that. He said, but I'm thankful I've finished my race. I've kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. And so he said, there's a crown laid up for me. Now, with that in mind, let's go over to chapter number 12. Remember of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Remember, shortly after Pentecost, the Bible said, they marveled. These were ignorant and unlearned men. That means they had some mental failure some way. It means they're not educated. They were not trained in rabbinical school. But they realized that they had no religious prior training, but they had great power. And the key was they'd been with Jesus. And then here Paul talks about, I've been faithful, I've kept the faith. And then he said, but Demas hath forsaken me, and so-and-so is left. But he said this, I've kept the faith. Notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. I'll leave off the reading there. Paul said this, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would help me this morning. I want to thank you for the good singing of the choir and the congregation, Brother Chris. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Ghost of God. And our Father, in this building this morning, are many dear saints of God who love you. Now, Father, many of them have gone through so many difficult things, trials in their family, long bouts of illness and battles with cancer and family members. Some, our Father, going through physical things or sin. Many, our Father, have weathered storms and gone through storms and going through storms financially. Our Father, many are attacked by Satan in their family, in their marriages, and through their children. And God, I pray in these last days you'd help us to be faithful, Lord, to love you and serve you. Now, God, I pray for that anointing that'll make the difference. I want to be a help and a blessing. I pray breath of heaven breathe on me, fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, please don't let a man or woman or boy or girl in this building die and go die lost as they leave this building. I pray they'd all be saved. And I pray God's people will be helped and encouraged. And I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Somebody said to me the other day, Brother Billy, have you ever seen so much stuff going on? Now, you can imagine filling all the blanks about the stuff you want to. Family problems, sickness, and all the things going on in the Christian community. And they make reference to our church. And I want to tell you, I said, listen, it is not just our church. Everywhere I go, everybody I talk to in the Christian realm, there's an all-out attack. You say, Brother Billy, why is that? Well, it has something to do with the timing in which you live. You're living in the last days. Everybody say amen. Praise God. That means it's fixed to get over with, children. And we're leaving out of here. You're living in the last days. In the last days, the Bible said that wicked men will wax worse and worse. Are men more wicked than they've ever been, according to the Bible? The Bible said in the last days, they'll wax worse and worse. And so you see it everywhere you go. The television and everything you see is just polluted and full of all kind of things. And less than a year, not more than 2 years, you see a dramatic change in the complexion of the programming on TV. And it's getting worse all the time. But my dear friend, listen, that's part of the age you're living in. You're living there. And the threshold of the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. The Bible said in these last days, wicked men will wax worse and worse. And there are some who depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. There are some who will be deceived, and some who will be deceiving. In these last days, a lot of people will be deceived. I don't want you to be deceived. I want you to understand what's going on. And Paul writes clearly, and he said, I'll just tell you now, in the last days, men will depart from the faith. In the last days, there will be some who arise, even out of your own number, who are wolves in sheep clothing. All those things are going to happen. All those things are going to happen. Now, you just know that. Now, that's not an encouraging message, is it? That everything's going to get darker and get worse, and God's people will be more under assault and under attack. But the bright side of this, Jesus is coming again. But can I tell you, my dear friend, that the darker the night, last night, how many of you lost power? Did anybody in here lose power except people lived on Grace Road? Raise your hand. That's what I thought. I don't know what happens. It thundered twice and our lights go out on Grace Road. We were in darkness. It got dark about maybe 10, 20 minutes to 9. The storm came in, a little bit of thunder, a little bit of lightning. Our power went off. And we were there and the lights were on and I was doing things. Regina was doing things. I think TV was on. And I had gone into the kitchen and all of a sudden, darkness. Just a little bit of thunder, a little bit of lightning. Went in darkness. And it was that way for some time. It was dark. And so I fiddle around, found my flashlight, and a little candle. Put it on the dining room table, lit one in, put it in there where the TV's at. And that little bit of light in that great room of darkness, it's a big room. It's about 20 by 40. I put one little candle in there. It was dark when I first put it in. Lit that candle, it began to get light. You know what I noticed? I noticed the longer I operated in the realm of that light, the lighter it got. My eyes began to get adjusted. And after a while, we got candles around, and I said, well, I want to read my Bible a little bit. And I said, you know, people used to read, I remember people talking about reading by the light of an oil lamp, and we've got two oil lamps. And I went in there, and I dug stuff around up top of my laundry room in there, and I got an oil lamp out, cleaned it up a little bit, and lit it, and set it in the middle of our kitchen table. And can I tell you one thing? I want to thank God for all the people in days gone by who read their Bible by oil lamps. I don't see how in the world they've done it. I tried to maneuver that thing around. I finally got where my eyes get focused and I could read. But what a blessing it was. Can I say this to you? You don't have to have, in these days, a great deal of light to give a lot of light. The darker the day, the brighter your light's going to shine. The darker this day, the greater witness you're going to be. And you need to stay close to Jesus. Stay close to Him. When you look around, and as preachers and those of us who try to serve the Lord, and we see what's going on, and it's just one thing after another, it is so easy to get discouraged and disheartened and want to give up, want to throw in the towel. And as I thought about this as I preached on Wednesday night, and I shared some things with you, those who were here on Wednesday night, you and I, it is imperative that we stay faithful to Jesus. There are three things I'll just share with you quickly that are important for you to do. Psalms 23, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down beside the still waters. He leadeth me, make me lie down in green pasture, leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." Now, if there's no lying down in green pastures, if there's no being beside still waters, there's no restoration of soul. Now, I believe that's literally true in some respects. It is imperative that you and I learn to have some time when we just get along with God. Christians don't have a Sabbath. We need a Sabbath. We need to have a devoted time, a designated time to where we can get away and be alone with God, whatever it is. You need to learn to do that. And now, I'm preaching to the choir. I'm repeating what my doctor told me 5 years ago. He said, you've got to take time. Somebody, I'm trying to think, but anyhow, somebody sent me some clippings and Brenda sent me this one. And it's a picture of a guy, and he's sitting on the doctor's examining table, and the doctor's standing there, and the doctor says this. He said, "Well, which fits better into your schedule, 1 hour exercise a week or being dead 24/7? And so you got to decide what you're going to do. And so you've got to learn to have a devoted time. You got to have a time when you can just get away and get along with God. And then I'd say this to you, it's going to take devotion. It's going to take some devotion. What's that mean? I'm not talking about your faithfulness to service, but I'm talking about your surrender to Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It has to do with your communion with Him. You got to have a designate, you got to have a definite, designated time when you're going to get away. But then you've got to have some time when it's a time of devotion, that you just spend time with Jesus. I don't guess I'm a good counselor, but when I talked with him, me and my wife, the Lord willing, just a few months to be married 49 years, and next year we'll be married 50 years. And that's hard to believe. When I look at her, she looks she's just as pretty as she always was, and we saw the video of the wedding when Becky got married 2 years ago, and I was excited about seeing it. And Jim had told us getting ready, he said, "Now the quality of this is not very good and everything. And you remember on this small screen, it makes everybody look bigger than they really are." And I think he was preparing me for something. In a little while, my wife and the wedding party came down, and me and Becky was on the other side of the hill down at the beach. And when we came over the hill, I thought, who in the world is that with my daughter? And after a while, I realized it's me. And I told my wife, I said, "Honey, I did not know that you were married to a short, old, fat man until I saw that." And then Jim had tried to soothe it over, said, "Best makes you look bigger." But I noticed something. Them seagulls wasn't no bigger. They looked just like a seagull. I've got a very kind son-in-law. My dear friend, it is this idea that you focus on Him. You fellowship with Him. Spend some time in devotion, just loving Him. When I talk with couples who are going through difficult times, I say, here's what I want you to do. Number one, I don't want you to separate. That's the worst. When you separate, you say, we're going to separate, work things out. The devil's going to drive a deep, bigger wedge in that. It's just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And here's what the thing is. I said, I want you to take a few days off and go somewhere and do not discuss any problem you're having. I don't care what kind of problem you're going through, what kind of problem you're having, who did what, who didn't. I want you to forget about it, go away, and don't do any of that. I want you to go away and just enjoy being together. I want you to laugh. I want you to do things you hadn't done in a long time. Hold hands, walk down the mall, walk down the beach. Find a set of swings somewhere and put your wife in it, push her in the swing. Just do things. Don't try to work out your problem. Don't do anything. I want you just to be enjoy being together. You know what that'll do? It'll bring back memories. It'll remember why you got where you were and how you got to where you were. And all this other that's tended for you and tried to destroy it. It brings you back to this one truth. There was a time that I loved her with all my heart. There was a time that I loved him with all of my heart. And my dear friend, if you'll have that time of devotion with the Lord, and you'll get back to what it's all about him, you won't quit. You won't quit. You'll just keep on going. But I will say this, it must be a definite time, and it's got to be a time of devotion, but it will take a certain amount of discipline. Paul said, I keep my body subject. You've got to discipline yourself. You've got to keep yourself disciplined to do those things that are right. But you say, Brother Billy, what about this man Demas who left the Lord, forsook the Lord? Why is it that people don't quit? Why don't you just quit? And sometimes people understand a little bit of what preachers go through and everything. Preacher, I don't see how you do it. But it's just true of you too. Many of you who are Christians, and you feel like sometimes just throwing up your hands and quitting. Why don't you quit? Why don't we quit? Well, in my regard, in regard to the man of God, first of all, I want to say to you, there's a call that I can't deny. I remember when the Holy Ghost of God dealt with me and God called me. God spoke to me even as a young man years ago before I ever even thought about surrendering to Christ. God dealt with my heart about preaching the gospel. And then God began to deal with me and God spoke to my heart. And I was sure that he wanted me to. I talked to my dear pastor, Brother Earl Schott, when I said, Brother Earl, I believe God's called me to preach. And he'd been praying, of course, amazing. He knew that, for I knew that, I think, sometime. And he talked to me. He said, Brother Billy, here's what you can do. He said, if you can do anything else in the world, be happy to do it. But if he's calling you, won't be happy doing anything else. And so I over a period of time, it just got stronger and stronger. And then finally I told him, I believe that's what God wants me to do. And a lot of things happened. But anyhow, I remember the night I was standing at the choir. And here's what he said. He said to me, Brother Billy, he said, you go somewhere and find you get along with God. And you acknowledge God's call in your life. Say, God, I know you're calling me to preach. I'm going to preach. And then you go. Well, in our circumstance, I had a little bit of a unique situation. Because our first daughter, Christy, had developed leukemia. And in those days, I knew God was dealing with me about preaching. I had not made it public yet. And I was in a service, and God, the Holy Ghost, dealt with me. We found out that Christy had leukemia. And I don't remember all the dates. My wife remembers everything a lot more in detail than I do. But I do remember this. The day that she took her to see Dr. Fussell, and she'd been sick, and he said, we want to send her to Duke. I was working in the textile mill, and the phone rang, and it was my mother-in-law calling the mill, and they paged me to the office, and I went to the office, and she said, Billy, come quick. Said, Regina, is all the pieces, and they just told us that they think Chris has got leukemia. And we ran, and I went and got her, and her mom, I guess, went home, and somehow or another we got my mama from the mill where she was working at, and I took Regina and Christy by the house to get ready and took mama out to her house. And I went out behind Daddy's and had a big old chicken house out there. I used to raise chickens. It's been long since I had chicken house. And I knelt down, and I prayed, and I said, oh, God, I know you've called me to preach, and God, if you'll let Christy live, I'll surrender and preach the gospel. And when I stood up, it's just like a cloud all around me that day, and I couldn't get away from, and I knelt back down. And I said, oh, God, I said, I know you called me to preach. And God, I'll give my heart and life to you, everything I got to give to you right now. And I said, regardless of what you do in regard to Christy, I know, God, you'll do right. And whether you choose to take her to heaven or you let us keep her, God, I'll preach the gospel. And God dealt my heart that day. It was a series of things. But I remember talking to Brother Shotwell, and I told him, I said, God's definitely called me to preach. And he said, you make that commitment in your heart and your life. Wait 2 weeks before you tell anybody else. And I remember a couple of weeks I was in the choir, And they were singing that old song for invitation. Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. And I came out of the back row of the choir to the front. And I was just a squalling, felt like I got saved all over again. And from the time I got there, Regina was there. And it wasn't long, her dad and different ones come. And Brother Earl Schott stood, and he told the church that God's called him. I go back to that a whole lot. I go back to that call a whole lot. Because sometimes things don't work out like I want them to. Sometimes I feel like getting me a good job at Hardy's somewhere. Sometimes I go down. But I remember that day when God put a call on my life that I can't deny. I know God called me. But God called you to salvation. And when you feel like quitting, I want you to remember that hour when you surrendered to Him with all of your heart and gave your heart to Him, when old things became new, when all your sin was washed away. He wrote your names in the Lamb's Book of Life. He gave an inheritance that's incorruptible, that fadeth not away. My dear friend, in that time, when the Holy Ghost of God came in and filled and flooded your heart, and you know that you'd passed from death to life, you go back to that time. When you feel like giving up, you go back to that time when God, the Holy Ghost, called you. But I can't quit. I can't quit. Because of the crowd that's in front of me. I'm talking about you. Yeah, I'm talking about you. I couldn't quit when I think about you. And when I think about folk down the road. And I think about people that hadn't heard the gospel yet. Oh, there'll be thousands that will not listen. There'll be thousands, maybe hundreds, that'll mock and make fun and don't want to hear it. But somewhere there's one, and there's one, and there's one. There's a little boy that will come and say, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. There's a lady who's been going through things in her life, and her heart's broken, and she's tried everything in the world. Never nothing satisfied her. And like that woman at the well, she'll hear the gospel message, and she'll come, and she'll get saved, and she'll get to go to heaven. There's that man who's lived a rough life, and he's been an alcoholic and drug addict and everything else, and he's come to the end of his way. But somewhere along the line, he'll pick up a Highway Shepherd CD, or he'll hear me preach, and the Holy Ghost of God will get a hold of his heart, and he'll break, and he'll give his heart to Jesus. He'll become a brand new creature, and he'll live for all eternity. Hey, I can't quit because of that crowd down in front of me. Oh, yeah, it's a small... One time, I was in high school and looking at different job things, you know, used to, and the kids still do, they work, but... You know, when I grew up, everybody worked. I mean, you didn't want to question about where you worked. Now you just worked. And some of you worked, bought your own school clothes, bought your own shoes. Ain't that a novel idea? Say amen right there. And all those things. And all those things. You did all that. Everybody worked on the farm, worked public work, anywhere else. And we all did. And I talked one time about working at the bus station. And that's all we had in Rock Rapid. Overwhelmed. I had a train station, had a bus station there. I talked with him about that, and the guy, two or three people he was interviewing, and of course, mine wouldn't work out because I was still in school. But anyway, he said, this is a nickel and dime business. He said, if you want somewhere that's big bucks and big this, that, and the other, he said, it's just, you don't make a lot of money. And he said, we sell these little nabs and cookies and stuff around here, and you take care of this bus station and everything. And he said, and you're not going to make much money at it. And he said, it's just nickel and dime stuff. And I kept thinking, this is the worst interview I've ever had for a job. I mean, he's trying to discourage us and everything else and everything. And then he said this. But remember this. There are people coming in here who've got somewhere they got to go. There's somebody going, their mama's died, and somebody's going to take a visit with a friend, and somebody's going there. And said, he said, this job is about service and about helping people get where they need to go or want to go. And boy, I thought about that over the years. God, the Holy Ghost, put me in a business where I'm trying to help people get where they need to go and where they really want to go, and thank God for it. Listen, and that's my blessing. Oh, there's a whole lot of folk that ain't interested in the ride. They don't want to go. But there, every now and then, there's one falls in backwards and gets saved by the grace of God. And hey, that's what keeps us going. That's why we don't quit, is the crowd that's in front of us, the folk down the road. But can I say something to you? There's a crowd behind me. Behind me, that I can't quit. There's been some folk that have laid the foundation, they've been faithful. They've done. Paul said to young Timothy, Timothy, I have finished my course. You know what he's saying to Timothy? He's saying, Timothy, here's the torch. I'm through. It's over with. I'm fixed to leave out of here. But they're going to need somebody who will be instant in season and out of season. Somebody who will preach the word, who will reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. And he's saying, Timothy, it's your turn now. Boy, I think back, we was at Jubilee last week. I remember going over in the old building at Ralph Sexton's in 1973 or 4. First time I went. His dad then, Ralph Sr. was pastor. Billy Kelly was there. Mays Jackson was there. Dr. Billy Canoa was there. Dr. Harold Seitler came through. You know where all those men are at now? Dr. Ralph Sexton Sr., Brother Mays Jackson, Billy Kelly. They finished the course. They're gone. You think one of these days, having sat under those men, been led by those men, you think one of these days when I get to the judgment seat of Christ, I want to stay there and they finished out their course, they were faithful, and I have to stand there and say, fellas, I'm sorry. I got tired. I'm sorry people made me mad. I'm tired. Sorry people talked about me. I'm tired about this, that, and the other. And I just got fed up with it. And I laid the torch down. I don't think I'm going to do that. I don't believe I'll do that. I may not amount to much, may not accomplish much. But when I get there, I want to be able to say this. I have finished my course. I've been faithful. I've kept the faith. The crowd that's behind me, but can I say something else? There's a crowd above me. He said in the book of Hebrews, we're encompassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. I'm not going to quit because of that great cloud above me. What are you talking about? I'm talking about those on the other side. I'm talking about those. I was going through some stuff last. We had a unique experience the other day when Don was here and he had his friend here from Japan. I'd been through a bunch of stuff, put a stuff out there for you. Thank you for all those who picked up some of the stuff and helped us with the offer of the Highway Shepherd. I appreciate you doing that. And I found stuff, and I found a little New Testament, and I knew it was the Japanese Chinese one, but didn't have a long story. But I looked at it before church, had gone through all that stuff, and I had a bunch of old books stacked up, and I was just shuffling through them, and I saw that. Anyhow, I ended up leaning on top. At the close of service that Sunday, Denise came to me and said that Sherry was going online trying to find a Japanese Bible for that young man. And I said, wait a minute. I ran it off and got it brought back in here to him, gave it to him, and that Bible. But you know what, Regina, we've got Regina's daddy's Bible, we've got her mama's Bible, I got my mama's Bible, and I got her grandma's Bible. We got all those old Bibles and all those people in heaven now. That's a part of that great crowd up there. I looked at mama's Bible, it was a long time ago now. Once again, it was a big Bible. Stayed on the head of her bed. She read it, prayed, read me the Bible when I was little. When our little girl Christy would go over, and mama didn't tell me until after Christy died. And she said, last time Christy was over here, said we got in there and got ready to go to bed, and Christy ran and jumped up on the bed, reached up and got my big old Bible. And she said, Grandma, read me about Jesus like my daddy does. Now, I took my mama's Bible and looked through it. I thought about her reading to Christy. Thought about her reading to me out of that Bible when I was a little boy. Stuck all through that Bible were little clippings. It's a little clipping about when God called me to preach and we made it public and when I was ordained. Little thing stuck in there, a little piece of bulletin, this, that, and the other about where I'd preached at and all those things. Hey, can I tell you something? I don't think I'm going to quit because of my mama. Boy, listen, y'all may not think I'm much, but I know that's not so. Y'all very kind. But my mama thought that if it was a choice between me and Billy Graham, and she loved Billy Graham, I mean, she had everything Billy Graham ever had. But Billy Graham was second to her baby boy. I'll tell you, I failed the Lord, but mama had confidence in me. And I don't want to disappoint her. Got a little girl up there. Can't hardly wait to see her. I want her to know that Daddy was faithful. Regina's daddy's up there. Probably one of the best Christian men I've ever known. No show about him. He was 100% man, loved to hunt, loved to fish. But he loved Jesus. He'd witness, read his Bible, teach Sunday school class, walk with God. He's a blessing. Boy, I sure would hate to think. And he know, while he was living, I tell you, there was times in the beginning of me and Regina's marriage, he could have killed his son-in-law. I don't thank God he didn't. But God's good, and I tell you, I sure do want to be able to say when I get home and see Kit and see my mom and see Christy, hey, I didn't quit. You don't need to quit. You don't need to quit. But there's somebody else up there too. The one who loved you before the foundation of the world. Be faithful because you're going to see him one of these days. The Bible said that we'll all stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, give account done in our body whether they were good or bad. Whether they were good or bad. And I tell you, it'd do you well to keep that in perspective, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the same, sit down at the right hand of the Father. Do you good to keep your eyes on him. It'd be a motivating factor. It'd motivate you, his example, but his examination will also motivate you because you have to give an account of the things on your body, whether they were good or bad. I want to be able to do it. I want to be able to stand before him. And I don't know, I want to try to be faithful and do everything I can. But I don't want to disappoint him more than anything else. I don't want to get there and have to say I failed, or I give up, I throw it in the towel, or I quit. I want to be faithful. Be faithful. Lord Jesus loved us and died for us. And the Bible says, wherefore seeing we also compassed about such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight, every sin that so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. I tell you right now, you'll face him. We're going to have to face him. And don't quit. You say, Brother Billy, physical problems, awful discouraging. Financial problems, awful discouraging. And I see things going on in the lives of other people, and it just discourages me. Kind of get out. Don't get out. Don't get out. You got too many people in front of you. Too many people behind you. Too many people above you. Just don't give up. Just don't quit. How many of you are saved? Say amen. 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 Let's bow our heads together. How many of you who are saved, who just said I've saved? How many of you have in this last year, last 6 months, you've been down, you've been discouraged, you felt like quitting? Thought you'd just lay out of church. For some reason, whatever it was, you've been defeated. Would you raise your hand this morning across this place? God bless you. Hey, I've got both hands up while you're praying for one another. Will you pray for me? God's good. He loved us. There's great days ahead for the church. I believe that with all my heart. For this church, for the church body, and for days ahead. I'll tell you right now, it'd be worth it, if the rest of your life and my life, we could lead one person to Christ. One person in these last days. Let's don't quit. Let's don't be discouraged. It's going to take your having a devoted time. It's going to take your devotion. It's going to take some discipline. But don't quit. Just be faithful to him. Be faithful to him. You've got to learn. Learn to spend some time with him. I'm interested in people knowing that we've been with Jesus. We've been with Jesus. That's the main thing. Oh, I love you and I'm praying for you. We pray one for another. We keep on keeping on for Jesus. Be excited about the days ahead. Excited about what God's going to do. Trust in him. Believing in him. Can I ask you a question? Is there a man, a woman, a boy, a girl in this building? If you died right now, you could not say, I'm going to go to heaven. Brother Billy, I do not know for sure I'm going to go to heaven. Will you pray for me? I'm talking about you may be a member of this church. You may be a visitor guest for the first time. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come to you. I want to pray with you. But if you say, Brother Billy, if I died right now, I do not know for sure I'd go to heaven. Pastor, would you pray for me right now? Would you slip your hand right up, right back down across this building? All in this building this morning. All in this building. Amen. We know we're going to say, go to heaven because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. But I don't know for sure. Preacher, will you pray for me? I want to do this morning. First of all, those of us who are saved, if you need to, I invite you to come get around this altar this morning. Just say, Lord, I want to thank you for what you've done for me. There's nothing that stirs me, excites me, make me love him more than just remembering what he's done for me and saving me. That's enough motivation for me to keep on. In here this morning, there are the saints of God, and you've gone through a lot. I mean, I know, I've been there. Loving a person who's dying is hard. Having a family member going through a difficult time, that's hard. It drains you physically, emotionally. Having loved ones to go to heaven, leave you behind, that's hard. If you're not careful during those days, you'll get defeated and discouraged. The devil will slip in. He doesn't care. He'll use anything and anything. Some of you got good friends that you know were saved. Love God, yet you've seen them throw in the towel, quit, turn their back on everything they say they believed. If you're not careful, the devil will rob you of that. I want you to obey him. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I ask now the Holy Ghost of God. God, I pray for the saints of God, many around this altar already. God, I pray you'd stir their heart, excite them about serving you. God, I pray they'll keep being faithful. Lord Jesus, for those who may not know Christ, I pray, Father, the Holy Ghost of God to deal with them and save them for Jesus' sake.